Hebrews chapter 10, we're continuing our series on disciplines for a deeper spiritual life. And we're going to begin reading this evening at Hebrews 10 and verse 19. Hebrews 10 verse 19, it reads, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." Let's pray. Dearly Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you for your great salvation, work of justification. We thank you for the work of sanctification that you're doing within us, Lord. We pray you would help us, that as we draw nigh unto you, you would draw nigh unto us, and that you would transform us into the image of your Son, so that you may be used of us, or we may be used of you, rather, and you might be honored. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And as we continue our series of disciplines for a deeper spiritual life, we've been going through it the way we recognize sanctification is God's work in us, where he sets us apart from the world, where he's consecrating us unto himself, he's transforming us in the image of his Son, that this is definitely something that we lack the ability to do ourselves. And so he has to do that work in us, but as he seeks to do that work in us, he directs us through his word that there are certain things as believers that are to become more and more a part of our lives as we mature. That these are, essentially, we gave the idea of the Lord has planted a seed within us, and he wants it to bring forth much fruit, and so we recognize for that to happen, there's ground that needs to be broken up. There's watering that needs to be done. There's weeding that needs to occur. So the seed of Christ's likeness placed within us upon our salvation might bring forth much fruit. And God gives us these things in his word that he tells us to focus upon. It says in another place in the scriptures, God has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And he's provided these disciplines as a means to the end of bringing us into spiritual maturity. And we recognize with each of them that they, as we do those, that it will benefit us. It will put us in a position where we can be closer to the Lord and he can work more easily with us. And we've recognized already the idea of studying and meditating upon the word, of prayer, of thanksgiving, of fasting, and of worship. But tonight we want to focus on the idea of fellowship. That from the beginning, God's plan for us, he never intended for believers to be kind of lone rangers, where we're on our own, fighting the devil by ourselves, that he has always desired for us to be part of a family, that's the whole idea of it, that we're adopted as children of God, that we have a commonality with all believers because of that. And he desires that his believers congregate together to form churches for the fulfillment of the Great Commission and for the spiritual growth and benefit of each believer. And when we think of fellowship, we use these different words, but then sometimes we ask, well, what does it actually mean? How do we define it? We can misunderstand what it is. Just as with worship, sometimes we think it's something and then we find out that we may have the wrong perspective of it. And fellowship is the idea of companionship, of mutual association. One person has defined it as the idea that we're all in the same boat rowing in the same direction. That's the idea of fellowship. That there's a commonality, that we have a singleness of purpose. And we realize that naturally, as believers, there is a commonality. There's something that we have in common. All of us are sinners. All of us come to faith in Christ the same way. All of us have passed from death into life. There was none of us that sort of got there because of our works or anything like that. It's all because of His grace. And we've all been given the same direction, that personally we're to be conformed to the image of His Son, and corporately we're to fulfill the great commission of evangelizing the world, of baptizing those that believe, and then teaching them and discipling them so that they might grow in the faith. And we see the fellowship that we have is based upon our fellowship, first of all, with God Himself. It speaks of in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." And that as we have fellowship with God, as we're seeking God together, that we can have fellowship one with another. We see in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says, verse 9, "God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." That it's something that we're called unto, that fellowship that we have with Christ Jesus, that relationship that we can have with Him, that with anything, if we're in the same boat with Christ, and we're to row in the same direction, we know, well, we don't get to choose which way to go, that he's the captain of the ship, and we follow Him, that as we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with the Father, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, that we are called unto this, and we join in that pursuit, that we seek after the Lord. And fellowship, of course, it's something that we realize that it's something that we share as believers, that we can't share with the world, that we can't have fellowship with what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, that we're not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers, but we know that we can enjoy that, and it can be a great strength and a blessing to us, and it can be a testimony as well that those that aren't saved, that they can see the fellowship that we can have as believers, and it's something that attracts them. And so with fellowship, it is a great blessing. It can be a great blessing to us, and it's of great importance that God has established the institution of the church to fulfill that role. And that as believers, that we're to find others that are of like precious faith, so that we may unite as a body with Christ as the head, so that together we might strengthen and encourage one another, so that way we can accomplish much more together than we could alone. That's the thought, that a church is the body of Christ, that it has a function, that as individual members, just as kind of the sense of a dismembered body, that it cannot accomplish as much, certainly, as all those parts working together as a whole to accomplish great things. And this assembling together, that we recognize it to be an important part of our life in Christ. It's not to be forsaken. It's instead to become a discipline of our lives. And as the verse we read in Hebrews said, so much the more as we see the day approaching. And so we ask ourselves, well, why is it so important? How is making fellowship a discipline of my life going to help me, going to bring me forth further into the path of Christ-likeness? What does it provide that is so essential? And I want to see, first of all, that fellowship for us provides encouragement. That having someone with us, working together with something, seeking the Lord together, that it's an encouragement. It helps us to go on. That I don't know if you found sometimes as we pray that sometimes when you're by yourself, you try to pray and you just can't seem to get anywhere. But sometimes if you're able to pray with your spouse or with another Christian, it helps. It just kind of can strengthen one another. We come together to worship. We can worship alone, and we should, but it's a blessing to worship together, that we can encourage our hearts together. That's what the Lord has provided for, a way of encouraging us, keeping us with the proper attitude, the proper perspective, so that we don't give up or surrender. We see the principle given in Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9. It says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And so, we think of that. It makes sense to us, and two people together have a good reward for their labor, that they can work together, they can enjoy the fruits of their labor together. It's a blessing to be able to share in that. We see the thought as well, that if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But if we're by ourselves, if we stumble, there's no one to help us back up again. The principle is given in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. It says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. That if we see a brother that's struggling, see a brother that's having trouble with things, and he's under a burden that's just crushing him, and he can't overcome it, that's what we're there for, is to help them, to try to restore them, to bring them back to strength again, that we don't want the devil to get an advantage over them. That's where we have fellowship, that we can help each other up when we fall, because there's always going to be different times where we stumble in our Christian life. We recognize that. Even in the course of the day, usually we do good, and then we think, wow, I'm doing really good, and then we end up falling on our face quite quickly. And so having that fellowship one with another, that we can encourage one another throughout the week, throughout the days, that when we stumble, that we can help each other up. It gives that idea as well. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat, but how can one be warm alone? Someone has compared believers, we as believers, to live coals. And if you take a coal out of the hearth in a fire and you set it off by itself somewhere, it's just going to eventually just kind of weaken and weaken, and eventually the embers will go out. But if you keep those embers together, if you stir them up and you put them together, that the fire remains and it grows strong. And that's what we want as a Christian, is that we want to be together so that we can continue to have that flame and that fire within us, that we don't want to allow that to die out. And being with others helps us to keep it going. And then we see as well in that passage, it says, if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. That we recognize as believers that we're in a battle. We have an adversary, the devil, that walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And with any nature shows that any of us have seen, how does the lion usually attack? It doesn't go into the midst of the herd. Usually it tries to separate some from the herd. It tries to get them off by themselves. And then they'll attack those ones, the ones that are sick, the ones that are weak. But yet if the herd is able to stay together, if they're able to stay as a group, all of them, there's safety in numbers. That probably seen things of musk ox, that if wolves or other animals go to threaten them, that they form a circle with the horns out, that and they have all the calves in the middle of that, and so they're protected. I'm not sure if buffalo do the same thing. I was trying to find that out, but I couldn't do that. But I remember seeing in some kind of nature show that, I just remember that picture of these big musk ox, that they weren't going to let them through. And that's the thing. The devil wants to take us down one by one, but together we can be strong. And we want to realize that the Christian life is talked about in different places as a race that we run. And we are to run the race with patience. But it's not a competition where we're trying to see who can get over the line first, or we try to, like, kind of, if someone falls down, that we kind of rejoice, well, that means I'm going to win for sure. That's completely not what the Christian life is about. That it's the idea that we want to all cross the finish line together. That if we get to the end and someone's not there, that we're going to be disappointed. And that's the thought that we don't leave anyone behind, that we try to bring them along, that we don't allow the devil to get in and to get these ones that we're willing, kind of that thought that if we see someone that's overtaken a fault, that we try to restore them, we try to bring them back to strength so that they can get back in the race and keep going. And so with that, we understand fellowship provides encouragement to us. It also provides protection, specifically from the different attacks of the devil, different things that we need to watch out for, whether it be temptation, whether it be struggles, that if we're watching out for one another and helping each other, it provides safety. The devil seeks to make attacks from many different directions. Sometimes it can be just the circumstances of life get us to question our faith, get us to struggle with things, get us to get in the midst of it and fail and then get discouraged. And so if we're there for one another, that it provides that protection. We also recognize that the devil seeks to attack us, seeks to go after us with false doctrine. And we recognize that the church is to be the pillar and ground of the truth. And God has given us the church so that we can be grounded in what the truth is, that we can have kind of that connection so that we're not led away. We see in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers," Ephesians 4 verse 12, "for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." That when we're on our own, when we're apart from things, that sometimes it can be easy for us to get our thinking wrong, perhaps get our focus on a certain thing in the Scripture to the neglect of other things. And having fellowship, having a commonality, is something we can talk about, and a person can question us, can challenge us on different things, and it can save us from a lot of confusion. I know different times we had discussions when we had Bible Institute, is I'd have kind of an assumption. I thought this is how it worked, but then the pastor said, "Well, what about this verse?" And then you look at it and you realize, okay, well, what I assumed and what the Scriptures actually teach may be two different things. And so you get that check, you get that balance, and it can save us from a lot of trouble. That sometimes we don't want to be that sort of we believe whatever was the last thing that we read, but instead that we can look at it and we can compare it with the Scriptures and see, okay, well, in this part they're true, they're right, and this part they're kind of out to lunch. And so we want to make sure that we understand it, and having that fellowship is a blessing. It speaks in Proverbs 27, verse 17, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." And that's what we can do for one another, that we can sharpen each other, that we can be aware that if we're by ourselves, we can get pretty dull, but together we can stay sharp, and it helps us and blesses us. And so we see that fellowship provides encouragement to us, it provides protection, and it provides edification. And edification is the whole idea of building up. We think of an edifice, that it would be something that's built up, something that's been manufactured, that's made. And that's the focus of the church, is to build up the believers. That the gifts that are given to the church is for the edifying of the body of Christ. You read Ephesians 4 and verse 12. And we see verse 16 of that same passage, "From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." That it's to build up, that it's to strengthen, it's to encourage us in the faith, to help us to grow, to make us stronger. We sea of different things that it gives just specifically, and even what we say. Verse 29 of Ephesians 4 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." That whatever we say, that it is to be building people up, it is to be strengthening them. And when we're part of that, that we're built up as well. That we see with the controversy dealing with tongues in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, that Paul spoke to them and he said, "Well, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation." It was like all of them wanted to speak at one time, all of them wanted to kind of get to the front and be a part of it. But he said, "Let all things be done unto edifying." That it was, that was the focus. If it wasn't going to be edifying, it was just to get their own attention to themselves, that they were missing the point. And that's the idea, that when with as a group together, as we congregate together, that there's always someone that's weak or struggling, that we can build them up, we can strengthen and help them go on, help them gain the victory. We can come alongside them, cheer each other on, so that we don't give up. And we realize that there's going to be times when we're going to build someone up, and then there's also going to be times where we're going to need building up. And that's the idea, that we all are seeking to do that with what we say, what we do, how we interact, that we're trying to build each other up, help us to become stronger, to keep going in the race. And then also we see with the whole idea of fellowship that we have, that it challenges us. That being part of a local body is a call to service. That we see from the scriptures, all of us have been given gifts by the Holy Spirit that are to be used to bless and to minister unto one another. That we see in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 7, it says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal, to be a blessing to all that are there." And so that is what our desire is to be. That even 1 Corinthians 14 verse 12, it says, "Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church." That we seek to do that. That we come to be edified, we come to edify as well, come to be a blessing to others. That learning to serve, that so often what we find, that as the Lord calls us into different things or directs us into things, that naturally we don't maybe feel comfortable in doing it. It kind of puts us out of our comfort zone. But yet we realize that He's given us a gift. He wants us to use it. And we, as we step forward, we learn from that. It challenges us. It makes it so that we have to learn and deal with things differently. And we recognize with it as well that if we're going to be conformed to the image of Christ, that He was a servant, that we want to have a servant's heart, that we're not there just to be served, but to serve others. And that's a challenge where we have to humble ourselves, where sometimes we find we're asked to serve in things that we maybe don't want to do, but it challenges us, it helps us, that we humble ourselves as Christ humbled Himself and became a servant for our sake, that we learn to do that for others. And we see in Romans chapter 15 that same thought. It says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good, to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me." And so that's the thought, that we're there to please our neighbor for his good, to edification. We're to serve, to in love to serve one another. And the fact as well is that when we have fellowship, it's a challenge to us because, of course, we're dealing with people that are sinners like us, that have character traits that we may not appreciate. They may have annoying habits, different struggles, different weaknesses. And thinking about serving, thinking about loving others is kind of easy on paper till you actually are face to face with the person. And sometimes we can find that there's different people that rub us the wrong way, and we think, well, how can we get along? How can we have any fellowship at all? But it's some that we're challenged in, some that we learn to do through the Lord Jesus Christ, that he wants us to learn to do that, because honestly, you think that he puts up with us all the time, that he wants us to learn to put up with one another, that to show the same love toward others that he shows to us. And we see Ephesians 4, verse 1, it says, this is Paul speaking, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That we are to have that lowliness, that long suffering, that it's something that we commit from the beginning. We know, we expect that we're going to have to suffer a long time. Sometimes we kind of think, well, we have an enough line, that this is as far as I'm going to go. If that person does that to me one more time, I'm just, don't know what I'll do. But instead, the thought that even if they keep doing it, that I will still be faithful to them, I'll still minister to them in love, forbear them. And that thought, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, that it's not easy all the time, but that's part of what we need to be exercised in. That we want to grow in that, that we learn that we need to develop patience. And that's really so often with fellowship, that as we bump into someone who we have a personality clash with, that so many times what it does is the Lord's doing it because he's confronting us with our own area that we need to learn patience in, something that we need to grow in, that we haven't reached true, complete spiritual maturity yet, that there's still things that we haven't got down yet, and so we need to be exercised in those things so that we can grow and that we can truly be blessed. And so with all of this, we recognize the benefits of fellowship, and we recognize that it's a discipline that the Lord wants to have in our life, that we're to seek that fellowship, that we're to enjoy it, be exercised in it, that there's many reasons or many things that can happen that we can get away from it, but yet we find that if we neglect it, we miss out, that there's times that the Lord has a blessing he wants to share with us that we miss out if we don't join in that fellowship, that sometimes there's someone that the Lord has for us to minister to, that if we don't engage in that fellowship, we'll miss out. And so it's something that we want to be exercised in, that there's not a point where we don't need fellowship, just like there's not a point where we don't need to pray, we don't need to study more, that it's all going to bless us. It's going to be a good thing. It's with none of the spiritual disciplines, it's not possible to overdose on them, that we can't pray too much or read the Bible too much, that the more we get, the better we will be. And that's what we see with this idea of fellowship, that the verse that we read there where it says that we're to be exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. That the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, we don't know the day or the hour, but we recognize that it is definitely getting closer to that day, and so we want to seek him so much the more. We want to seek him together, that for our own good, for the good of others, that essentially we're working together, we're helping each other to cross that finish line together. And in the verse it's given in Ephesians 4, verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's our goal together, that we would be united in faith, that we would be united in knowledge of the Lord, and that we would come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we've got a long way to go. There's much that we have to learn, but it can be such a great blessing if we can learn it together. If we have that fellowship, we seek out that fellowship, and it'll strengthen us in our faith and encourage us to keep going for the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word once again. Thank you for the fellowship that we have in your word and in your Son Jesus Christ through your great salvation. And we just pray, Lord, that we would value it, that we would have that desire to strengthen one another and be with one another, that we can all be a blessing to each other and a help, so that we can all stay faithful and strong in you. Just pray you bless us, Lord, through your word throughout the remainder of this week. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's turn to one more hymn, number 187. We'll close with Blessed Be the Tie That Binds, number 187.
Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kin.